Programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today from WRCO Radio, it's our monthly visit with Mayor Todd Coppernall, who is here, and he has brought along a friend today, City Attorney Michael Wendell, who is here as well to kind of tell us about what he does and his background and whatnot. Good morning, Mayor Todd. How are you?
Hey, Phil. Doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
Good day today, and it was a good, I want to say we're almost into summer, so I want to say it's been a good spring, hasn't it?
It has been, and here we go, and weather did what it does. A month ago it was dry, and the farmers needed rain, and now it won't stop. Welcome to Wisconsin. Now we're into, I think, my favorite time of the year, you know, that early summer before the real humid stuff hits. Everybody's out. I see people having fun doing what they do.
And the rodeo's coming up?
Yeah, the high school rodeo championship again, coming up June 14th through the 16th at the fairgrounds here. It's always awesome. I think people don't appreciate, you have to see it, the amount of work that these kids put in and their families or their supporters, friends, who's ever backing them. It's not a one-person endeavor. It's a very expensive sport to participate in. It takes a lot of time and effort. And if you don't think those kids are athletes, you have not been to the Wisconsin High School Rodeo Championship, because they certainly are.
Yeah, they may be the best high school athletes when you get right down to it.
They do, so. And just their heart is in it, man. And it's, you talk about nerve at, you know, 16 years old. It's you or maybe you and a horse, and everybody in the bleachers is watching that, and they go out and perform. And it's so interesting to me to listen to adults judge that. You know, they're watching, they're eating their popcorn, and the 15-year-old just gave you all they got, and then you go, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Great entertainment, that's for sure.
It is that.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about today? What's going on in the city of Richland Center?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the city of Richland Center, and Mr. Wendell's going to touch on some of this. And we've talked publicly, because it was discussed publicly in the past, about the Panorama Estates Apartments project that we continue to work on. Mr. Wendell is directly involved in that. I'll let him say what he wants to say about it. I get asked about it a lot, because it was, reported publicly that we're working on it. We still are. Lots of other rumors going around about what businesses want to come and what don't. I won't touch on those publicly today. I think you understand why not.
Okay. Yeah, you always kind of give us a little bit of a hint, and then you back off.
There's things I can tell you and things I cannot. So the fact that there are businesses interested, I can tell you which ones they are and where we're at. I'm going to leave it out today just to touch it, because I do get asked a lot before I come down. And I just wanted to tell everybody who doesn't know and doesn't listen or didn't listen to Those Were the Days with Phil Nee Saturday night, I really tried to stump him with a request. I sent him one that I only heard on a movie soundtrack in 1983, and I was sure he wouldn't have it, and then he played it. Good job filming.
My wife calls it hoarding, so that's the music that I have.
So. I thought it was great, and yeah. Thanks for doing that. But I want to tell you why Michael's here today. I don't think he's ever been down here. Michael, have you ever been on the show?
I have not.
Well, thanks for joining us, and I think it's important. Michael serves two very critical roles in the community. He is the city attorney. He's also corporate counsel for Richland County. So he's doing a lot of things for all of us. And just a very proactive, hands-on professional when it comes to the roles he's filling. And on the city side, what he's been able to bring to us is just what I just said. Just not just see the issue, deal with the issue, but really teach myself, the city administrator, the city council. This is the best approach. This is why. Not just vote on it. Okay, this is why we do this. And I'm going to stop here for a minute and give Michael a quick chance to just introduce himself and say hello.
Sure. Michael Wendell, as the mayor introduced, I do work for the county as the corporation counsel and the city attorney. I think it's important to me personally, because I view law as a service, and I really gain a lot of satisfaction from the fact that the skills that I've worked so hard to acquire, I get to use in direct service to the community in which I live. I own a home here in Richland Center, out in Allison Park. I've been here for about 5 years now. People still say welcome to Richland Center, and I have made my peace with being the new guy until the day I die. But, you know, I come from the East Coast, and I had never encountered a community smaller than, I don't know, 20,000 people before. My first year of law school, they sponsored a bus tour of rural Wisconsin, and I found the small town life and just fell in love with it immediately. The values, the people, the scenery. My daughter refers to our town as her little Encanto because we're protected with the bluffs and everything. And I could not see myself living anywhere else. And fortunately, I landed a job that allowed me to commute to Westby, and then when the corporation council position opened up, I was able to secure that. And then that allowed me to work from home. And so I was present in the community more. And then that apparently made a good impression on the mayor. And when the city attorney position came available, I was positioned for that as well.
It's fascinating to me that you took a bus tour from Delaware to Wisconsin, right?
So the bus tour was from the University of Wisconsin Law School. So it was only Madison.
Oh, it was only Madison.
I moved out here in 2013.
Okay.
And was finishing up my bachelor's and was in my first year of law school. And that's when they sponsored that trip.
Okay. Had you ever heard of Richland Center before, though?
No. We kind of landed here by accident. My fiance works in Madison. She was telecommuting even before COVID, but once COVID hit, you know, it was much more the way of doing business. But we needed a place between my firm's office in Westby and Madison. And fortunately, we were looking around, and actually the Panorama Apartments, my fiance loves air conditioning. That was a requirement for her, and that was the only facility she could find with availability with air conditioning. And we moved in there, and then, like I said, I don't just mean generally speaking, I enjoy rural Wisconsin. I love this town specifically, and getting the opportunity to learn it and explore it has really been the joy of my last few years.
Your last chance on radio, you were actually a DJ on your college station. Can you give us a little sample?
Sure. So I was a DJ for 91.3 WVUD, the voice of the University of Delaware.
All right.
A natural. That's awesome. I didn't know that till we got here today either. I had never heard that part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. But I'm guessing that was great for your resume for public speaking and everything, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I actually attended a school in Wilmington, Delaware called the Cab Calloway School for the Performing Arts. I was a communications major, and so I focused more on the writing side, but you were able to do a major and a minor, and I had tried out for a drama minor. The now retired Judge Sharp, my boss, advised me to look into working with him in the local theater troupe based on that background. Unfortunately, I think my schedule's a little too hectic for rehearsals, but I've never been afraid of public speaking. I usually have something to say. As I said, when we met this morning, I'm trying to avoid any dead air, but I also try and keep it interesting, or at least relevant. I'm not always successful, but I do my best.
What about getting into law? What inspired you there?
Jack McCoy from Law and Order, the prosecutor. It's radio, so people can't see me necessarily, but suffice to say, I have views on certain aspects of the criminal justice system that led me to be interested in a career as a prosecutor, so that I could try and affect change in that system. I was discouraged from the viability of that path, and then the tour happened, and so I started looking at different opportunities. The firm that I've mentioned out in Westby, it's Abswain Law. I'm not trying to hide that, offered me a position, and they represent Vernon County. I had not been familiar with corporation counsel position, but I have a background. I was a drug and alcohol counselor prior to going to law school. A lot of the county stuff involves working closely with HHS, DHS, guardianships, protective placements, involuntary mental commitments. A lot of that is based in substance abuse and mental illness, again, which I had a background with. And we just really love municipal law. I am not someone who could come in and read contracts all day, every day. I need the challenge of fires to put out and some, hopefully not literally, but just walking into the office every day and, you know, not knowing what it is that I'm going to face in the day. It's really worked with my skill set and mentality. And I am enough of a people person that thus far the various organizations I deal with haven't chosen to fire me. So apparently I do an all right job of translating the legalese to English. As I said, I view law as a service. I think getting people to understand law to the extent that it's relevant to whatever it is they're dealing with is part of that service. And so I have tried sometimes successfully to make it a little easier. As the mayor said, you know, in educating him and the council, it's really important to me that if I were to get hit by a bus tomorrow, the efforts that we've undertaken so far wouldn't stop. They would have some idea of, hey, you know, Mike said we have this power, or we have this authority. Let's look into that a little bit more.
Someone with this great background that he has, very varied, Todd, this has to be very beneficial for the city and the county. I'm
sure. It absolutely is. And as you understand, you just heard Michael say things I'd never heard. I knew some of his personal background, but he just gave you more than I've ever heard. I knew he grew up, as they say, back east and had exposure to drug and alcohol counseling, things like that. But I love the story. A lot of people here have these really cool, unique stories. A guy from the University of Delaware is now here as the city attorney and the county's corporate counsel. That's unique in its own right. And sometimes that's beneficial. We need people who are from here, understand the history, the local values and all that because they grew up here. But we need a blend of other people who specifically who are not, because then they'll see and hear what we're saying and maybe bring a different perspective, right? Something we might not think about because we grew up in between these hills. And Michael is exactly that. He comes in with a little bit. It's a different pace. It's a different thing. I've worked with two other city attorneys. He's very different than either one of them were. And that's not a criticism of them. It's just pointing out this is someone different. And that's proved beneficial. Maybe someone looking for things that we weren't maybe thinking we needed to look for because everything seemed to be running okay, right? So you just do what you did because it still works. Well, that's the history here. It's a small town. That's you get it done today and get on to the next thing, right? You have a bunch of part-time elected people working around day jobs, businesses, and so on, and they serve for a short time, and then there's another election. So they're focused traditionally, and this makes sense. They're going to stay on what they're doing today to get done what they're doing tomorrow because, remember, it's not their career. As much as they care and as much time as they put in, that's why you have to, you can get into these places where, with no intent by anyone, things are just being done that way because they've always been done that way and there might be a better idea. But no one's looking for the better idea because they're just trying to complete today's task list, right? Makes some sense. Okay, but what also makes sense is once in a while having a fresh set of eyes that doesn't think that way, and that's exactly who Mr. Wendell is. He's very professional. I think the folks at the county would say the same thing they did. When I was looking for a new city attorney, when Mr. Chris McGow relocated to his native Alabama and we knew we would have an open position, I have a close relationship with Mr. Marty Brewer, who, of course, was the county board chair at the time, and also with Mr. Dave Turk, who now is the county board chair. I've known him since high school. And I checked Mr. Wendell out pretty good, and also with the sheriff. And everybody was very complimentary and got into detail about why. And I'd met Michael a few times in town, but I didn't know him real well. I'd just been paying a little attention to what was going on at the county. And they were going through some real challenges, some real diverse challenges. A lot of personnel changes happened in a short time. Excuse me. I don't know if that sounds familiar, but the county just went through this. The county put an administrator in shortly before the city did. And when that administrator began doing what he was hired to do, I don't think through anyone's intent, they went through a lot of personnel changes over there. And then waves of policy updates. Because guess why? Because they hadn't done it in a long time. And the new attorney said, hey, guys, we should look at some of this. Well, now, if you just repeat the cycle, really. You do the same thing on the city side. That's now where we're at. We put an administrator in. Administrator's doing what she was hired to do. And then you get reactions to that because it's something different, something new. And now we have an attorney going, okay, and now guess what else? That's great what you guys did. You're doing great. But do you know what else you can do? We thought we knew every toy in the Tinker Toy Box, right? Because we made a lot of changes at the city in the last 4 years. Lots. Sweeping changes. And we said, okay, look at all that. And then Michael goes, right, and let me tell you about all this. And we just look at him, what do you mean? So, Michael, what do you mean? What do you think's next at the city?
Well, what I'm really excited about is the opportunity presented by codification or recodification, depending on your view of it. Basically, the ordinances and resolutions of the city for the last 100 years or so have been either written down or typed up. We're in the modern digital age now. And so prior to my appointment, the city contracted with a company called MuniCode to digitize the code of ordinances, get it into a more readable format, and eventually post it to the website in a much more searchable format than it's currently in. As part of that process, they do a legal review. So they go through, they make sure if a statute is cited in our ordinance, that it's now the correct statute, nothing's contradictory or outright unconstitutional, et cetera. And then they produce a draft of the new code of ordinances that I then review, as well as I'm going to try and get some of the department heads enlisted as well to review sections relevant to their duties. But during this process, it allows us, it is difficult to read through an entire code of ordinances. The draft document is 814 pages with an executive summary memo. And a lot of our ordinances are outdated, contradictory, confusing. I would point specifically to the equivalent of our criminal code. Every different behavior is a different ordinance. Everyone has a different forfeiture attached to it. Some of them encompass two or more of what you would see in the criminal statute. So for disorderly conduct, you may also have lewd and lascivious behaviors attached to that. Well, those are separate in other aspects of the statute. And so as the guy who probably has to read it more than anybody else, I'm uniquely positioned to be able to offer some suggestions to that. Now, MuniCode has said that our code of ordinances is particularly challenging, and I don't want to spoil anything for them tomorrow because they're going to have to sit through it, but I intend on presenting to the council tomorrow some of the options and alternatives that may be available through this process.
So what we're really saying, Mr. Wendell, is an opportunity for the council to clean things up, make them a lot more efficient, easier for the city attorney to use, the city administrator to use, department heads, anybody, the mayor, the council, if they want to look something up, it'll get much easier to do and just make it a lot more efficient. As you were alluded off the air, I mentioned, as Michael and I were discussing the process we're in, I mentioned the Johnny Cash song, One Piece at a Time, where he's working at a plant that made cars, and he snuck out one piece every day or every month, whatever it was. He built himself a car, whatever it was, a 52, 53, 54, 55, because this thing had two headlights on one side, one on the other side, and this grill and that back seat, because he was sneaking parts and building a car. But boy, that thing runs good. And it's kind of where we got here, and it's because these ordinances, these things the city's running on, they've come over generations. I mean, how long has Richland Center existed, right? So through all that time, how many city attorneys, how many different department heads, mayors, alderpersons, and so forth have come through Richland Center and done their best? But again, the focus being, do what's on your plate today, get it done, keep it running, get it done, keep it running. We got a city to run. Well, over time, through no intent by anyone, through no one's fault, really, if you don't make a point of sort of a continuous review and improve process, you can get where we are, where you have some things that are just out of date now, and then somebody goes, hey, let's fix this. Well, that's somebody's Michael, and that's where we are. Just make it cleaner, more efficient, easier to use, and for a lot of good reasons.
Are we going through, are there some openings? Are there people applying for jobs for the city, Michael?
We are hiring. I would not presume to list all the open positions off the top of my head. I think, you know, it's important to acknowledge there have been some departures from the city recently. The mayor and council are aware of this. It is directly tied to that shift to the administrator form of government. Certainly there is a different kind of oversight and accountability that is inherent to having a full-time administrator. And if you've worked a certain way for a long period of time, it can be difficult to kind of adapt to that additional oversight, especially if you've found that solution that works. When someone comes in and tells you, you know, that works, sure, but it's either not working as best it could or you're doing it the wrong way, even if it works. And I say that as someone in that position frequently, that can be challenging. And some people hear that enough and choose to pursue other opportunities. But the city is a great place to work. I know that everyone that I work with is passionate, really cares about the community. They're certainly not doing it for the money. You know, you can really make a difference in people's lives. I overheard a conversation in the clerk's office on Friday. Ashley, Administrator Oliphant, was assisting a citizen. I'm not sure with what, but she, you know, was very effusive in her praise and saying, you know, you made my whole day. And it's, you know, there are challenging moments, certainly, but those times really, if you're the right kind of person with the right kind of mindset, those will make your whole year in exchange.
Is Richland Center pretty typical to cities 5,000 plus? I mean, or is everyone different in how they operate?
I would say that one of the things that I fell in love with smaller communities is that there's no such thing as typical. You're going to have your own unique quirks. You know, there's certainly groups and organizations that allow for communications between professionals. So the Wisconsin League of Municipalities, or I work with the Wisconsin Counties Association in my role as Corporation Counsel, where ideas are exchanged. But at the end of the day, I don't answer to them. I answer to the council, the mayor, the administrator, and ultimately the people of Richland Center. And so my job is to reflect their values and their interests. So there are challenges with small towns, small communities. Certainly we are not, you know, over endowed with excess resources, financial. We have, you know, challenging topography in terms of development and construction. We have, you know, the campus issue that's been discussed. You know, that's a large parcel of property with an uncertain future. Communication, I think, in a small town. I certainly don't have to tell you guys as the sources of news, but it can sometimes be difficult when the community is filling an informational void when you are, by dint of, you know, my profession, confidentiality kind of comes with the job title, or when I am advising organizations, hey, let's not talk about that for now, then certainly the rumor and the misinformation comes in. Hopefully, in a lot of cases, we can just kind of let that fizzle out on its own. There are opportunities like this where I can try and put what information I do have out there directly. But there are times when I'm just, or we are just not going to be able to speak on something. And I just ask that people be aware of the sources of information that are filling in those gaps if it's not from someone with actual knowledge.
Attorney Michael Wendell and Mayor Todd Coppernall in the studio. We'll have more coming up in a moment. Attorney Michael Wendell is in the studio. Mayor Todd Coppernall as well, as we talk about city and county issues. In the city recently, Memorial Day, and it was a very nice service. It was almost like prayers were answered, because Sunday night I was thinking, well, they're going to move it into the high school. There's no way they're going to have it outdoors. You had it outdoors, and it worked out well, Todd.
You know, Phil, you're right. It rained most of that weekend, and the forecast was for rain in the morning, and we had beautiful blue skies and sun, and then rain later. It was rain the night before and rain after, with a perfect break to get the parade in, and then the service, which was moved this year, any day, literally, I believe this week, pending the weather, I believe this week, the 8th Street reconstruction project will begin. Some of the workers up there told my wife last week they'd be up on Wednesday, but we had more rain. So I don't know if, but any day. Well, they had initially, for months, they had told us it would be early May. Then, hence, 8th Street would be ripped apart, and we wouldn't be able to send a parade up to the cemetery. So we told the VFW that. I went to one of their meetings, and we went over it and came up with the alternative location of the Woodman Veterans Pavilion in the park, which, of course, is the Veterans Pavilion with markers honoring every branch of the armed forces. There's an American flag there. It's for the veterans. The POW MIA flag flies down there. And then we've got the nice pavilion with bench seating out there. And so it's just a nice, flat, open lawn. Basically, if you're not familiar, it's in the area where the rotary lights are every year. And we chose to move there this year and to redirect the parade route to that location because we couldn't use the cemetery. And what we may have found, I'll say this, we had a bigger turnout than we usually get. We, I think, had a better location for the high school band and a lot of other things. And I would bet you 15 to 20 people that were there asked me if we might make that a permanent solution. That's not really my call, but I wanted to throw that out there because I did get a lot of feedback on it. And I just wanted to mention also that service every year is so important to so many. Among other things, I was once instructed not to have it because of COVID, and I said, no, we're doing it, and we just put safety measures in place. It just matters too much, and it should. It should. Memorial Day, I don't mind at all people going camping, barbecuing, going to the Brewers game. I don't care. Go have a good weekend. But it's Memorial Day for a reason. They call it that because it means something. And to the families and loved ones of the folks, the soldiers that have been lost through the generations in service to the country, it's critically important that we honor them every year. And we always have, and we're always going to here in Richland Center. I'm very proud of that. And I thought, again, tip of the cap to Margie Freeman, to Bo Henricks, who was the MC, and to everyone who spoke, all of them. Great, great job. Great location. Great job, Richland Center.
Well, you take over. You're into your next term here as mayor. Talk about some goals the next couple of years.
Yep, goals the next couple of years. So the reason I ran again, I gave it a lot of thought. You know, I've been mayor before this for 4 years, and understand which 4 years those were. My first 2 years were the pandemic. I was elected in April of 20, right when everything was really breaking. And that was just wild to get through. And then in my second term, even though it really wasn't the city's business, it's absolutely, in a sense, the city's business, what the UW system did with our campus. It's not our budget, it's not our property, but it has a giant impact on the city of Richland Center, and we had no control over what happened, and it happened. So that's my second term, the turmoil. This city hasn't seen upheaval like that in a long time, and we got it back-to-back in the last 4 years, and it did take a toll on me. It makes you tired. You can't help it. If you care, if you're really in it, you're trying to help everybody. If you know me 10 minutes, you know I am. Try to listen to everybody, find solutions, and sometimes you can and sometimes you can't, and it all adds up. And I was pretty tired last fall. And then some opportunities became pretty clear that we had a shot here. And the first one is Panorama Estates Apartments, and I'm going to let Michael make a comment in a minute here, but a couple of other retail businesses contacted us, and then a home builder bought some land, wants to build some houses, and I have been involved in every one of these, heavily involved in every one of these projects, and it just came clear to me, this is not the time to leave. You said you would, now finish, and I mean it. And that's why I ran again. We've got these things out there that the community would definitely benefit from, things I know the people dearly want. And so I ran again, and very grateful to the voters. They chose to keep me in place. So those are the reasons I ran again. The economic development issues, getting apartments, houses, maybe some new businesses here. That's the reason I came back. But then what that's around that, there's the day-to-day running of the city. And that is fluid. You have to that changes all the time. One thing we're trying to do, and then I've got an update for you from the police department too. One thing we're trying to do is finalize and then execute a developer's agreement to get some new apartments in town. And Michael, as the city attorney, is directly, he's right in the middle of that. What do you know, Mr. Wendell, on Panorama?
As I said, they're the reason I moved here. So when I heard that they were looking to continue that and expand their offerings, certainly I was excited to be a part of that.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Your family to enjoy a delicious breakfast from 7 to 11 a.m. Indulge in pancakes, scrambled eggs with ham, and all the fixins while exploring educational and historical displays as well as equipment exhibits. Tickets are just $8 for adults, $4 for children age 7 to 12, and children 6 and under get in for free. Don't miss out on this dairy-filled event. There will be no shuttle buses. Make sure to mark your calendars and join us for the Sauk County Dairy Breakfast this Saturday from 7 until 11. We'll see you there.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. News Time is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today's forecast calls for more clouds than sun, spotty showers and thunderstorms possible by the afternoon, and a high of 84. In Richland Center, it is 65 degrees.
Is it time to buy a new mattress? Many factors can affect the quality of your sleep, and there are no foolproof indicators when you need a new mattress. Hi, this is Andrea from Court and Main Furniture and Mattress in downtown Richland Center. We've designed the perfect showroom for your sleep needs. Here at Court and Main, our sleep recipe is support, comfort, and durability at a fair price. So stop in and have a look and feel for yourself. Visit Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, located at 172 West Court Street in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. A bizarre disruption at a high school graduation. Video posted captured the moment when a student's father grabbed Baraboo District Rainey Briggs during last Friday's graduation ceremony. School staff and Baraboo police officers intervened, and officers escorted the man out of the building. A district spokesperson said a disorderly conduct charge was referred to the Sauk County DA's office. A senior detective with UW-Madison Police has a history of lying to courtrooms and misconduct. Records obtained by the Wisconsin State Journal show Detective Sergeant Peter Grimser has been disciplined 7 times since 2001 and has been placed on a list of police officers whose testimony is more than likely untruthful. He also berated a coworker so hard it prompted a civil rights lawsuit that cost the department $50,000 to settle. Current interim police chief Brent Plisch told the Journal he understands the record looks bad, but that Grimsier has done excellent work for the department. You can now add emergency contacts to your driver's license. The Department of Motor Vehicles announced yesterday they will be adding an emergency contacts field in your driver's record. That's part of a bill signed by Governor Tony Evers last year to make it easier to contact family and loved ones in case of an emergency. You can add the contact the next time you get your license renewed or add it online now at wisconsindot.gov. Two children were hurt after a school bus crashed in Milwaukee. That crash happened just around 7 o'clock yesterday morning. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that officials with the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office said an SUV hit the bus. The children were taken to a hospital with minor injuries. Another school bus was involved in a crash Monday morning as well. The Sheriff's Office said that crash happened about 6:30 when a car hit another car that collided with the bus. No children were on that bus. The car that initiated the crash fled the scene. The driver of the other car
car suffered non-life-threatening injuries, and the bus driver was not hurt. A hungry crowd of dairy enthusiasts attended Crawford County Dairy Breakfast Saturday at the Gaze Mills Fairgrounds. As a part of the activities, the 2024 Crawford County Dairy Royalty were crowned. Ava Forty, the daughter of Travis and Tasha Forty of Prairie du Chien, was announced as the 68th Crawford County Dairy Princess. She is an 11th grader at Prairie du Chien High School, where she is involved in FFA, also the Jay Walker's Youth Group, Sources of Strength, volleyball, soccer, and forensics. Grace Callahan, the daughter of Josh and Carrie Callahan of Woodman, is the Crawford County Dairy Princess attendant. She attends River Ridge High School, where she is an FFA and also a member of the Junior Jersey Association. 10-year-old Emmeline Saylor, the daughter of Robert and Angela Saylor, is the 26th Crawford County Little Miss Squirt. She will be a fifth grader at North Crawford Schools in the fall. Emmy enjoys helping on her farm of 125 sheep, 25 cows, 6 sows, and a handful of chickens. In her free time, she enjoys painting and singing and takes part in cheer, dance, basketball, and volleyball. 9-year-old Ashla Nolan, daughter of John and Carrie Nolan of Nolan Family Farms in Prairie du Chien, is the Crawford County Little Miss Squirt attendant. She is a third grader at Prairie Catholic School. Ashlyn has been a member of the Eastman Cloverleaf 4-H Club for 5 years and is in 4-H dairy projects and shooting sports. Ashlyn loves gymnastics and is in Little League softball. She likes to help her dad with the calf chores and showing calves at the fair. The Crawford County Dairy Royalty Team will have their first event at the Seneca Farmers Market coming up this evening. The price of gas fell over 9 cents per gallon during the last week. The average gas price across the state today, $3.32 per gallon, though the cheapest gas is only $2.94, and that's in Nakusa. Gas prices are 2.4 cents lower than a month ago and almost 12 cents lower than at this time last year. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said gas prices should continue to fall as we head towards the 4th of July. DeHaan said prices should continue to fall, but we'll need to keep our eyes on hurricane season. We know social media and so much time in front of screens can have a negative effect on mental health, especially for young people. But a new study from UW-Madison shows that adolescents get a mood boost from it as well. Researchers set to look at the short-term effects of smartphone use by teenagers and whether they're texting, watching videos, or playing games, young people were a little happier. Researchers say teens get the biggest boost while listening to music, podcasts, or audiobooks. A community blood drive with Impact Life will be held at the Richland Hospital and Clinics coming up this Thursday from 10 until 3 in Pippin Hall on the lower level. Impact Life is the provider of blood and blood components to Reedsburg Area Medical Center. The Richland Hospital and Clinics and many other communities in our region. To schedule an appointment for donation, call 1-800-747-5401 or visit online at bloodcenter.org. or via the Impact Life mobile app. All persons age 17 and up or 16 with a signed parental permission form who weigh at least 110 pounds and are in good general health meet the basic eligibility requirements for blood donation. Since 1956, Meyer Oil and LP has been a locally owned, reliable fuel delivery business. Whether it's residential, agricultural, or commercial, Meyer Oil and LP has you covered, offering diesel fuel, gas, bulk lubes, and propane, serving most of Richland, Sauk, and surrounding counties. Please consider Meyer Oil and LP for your fuel needs. Call and talk with their friendly staff at 608-524-3914. Today, more clouds than sun and warm and sticky. Spotty showers and thunderstorms possible by this afternoon, a high of 84. South to southeast winds between 8 and 14. Tonight, occasional showers and thunderstorms likely. Some could be heavy, a low of 62. Wednesday, partly sunny, breezy, and less humid. A 30% chance of showers by late afternoon, a high of 77. Wednesday evening, showers possible early, then and partly cloudy, a low of 54. Thursday, partly sunny, breezy and cooler, a slight chance of light showers, a high of 70. Currently in Richland Center, our temperature after the midnight reading of 68 and following yesterday's high of 78 and also 44 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. Right now it is 65 degrees.
Life and relationships are complex. Our past events, today's worries, or feelings of anxiety or depression keeping you from living your best life? Gunderson Boscobel's behavioral health specialists provide personalized outpatient counseling for children and adults in a safe, judgment-free environment. Prioritize your physical and mental well-being. To schedule a behavioral health appointment in Boscobel, Fenimore, or Muscadet, call Gunderson Boscobel today.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts.
A Kubota tractor will allow you to get all those many jobs done that have been sitting there too long. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Industry-leading Kubota tractors will push, pull, lift, cut, and till your property back into shape. Kubota has compact diesel tractors priced right from 18 to 62 horsepower. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota tractors at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. The WIA State Golf Tournament is continuing in Kohler, and rain did play a role on Monday. The Divisions 2 and 3 teams and golfers were only able to get 9 of the scheduled 18 holes in. After 9 holes, Mineral Point is the top team in Division 3 with 156. Bonduelle is second at 168. And among the top golfers in the state, Eli Lindsay of the Pointers fired a 37, so he is in third place after day one. And Mineral Point's Alex Ross is tied for fourth with a 38. The golf tournament continues today, and they will try to get it all in today in between the showers. Lakeland is the top team in Division 2 with a 157. High school baseball sectionals going on today at Johnson Creek starting at 10. Barneveld plays Pecatonica, and at 12:30, Johnson Creek will host Oakfield. Division 4, Sectional 3 in Blair Taylor. It's Levistrom playing Pittsville this morning at 10, followed at 1 by DeSoto versus Royal. The sectional championship game will be played at 4 o'clock. Division 3, Sectional 3 at Prairie du Chien at 10. Viroqua plays Aquinas, and Marshall battles New Glarus at 1 o'clock, with the championship scheduled for 4 o'clock. And in Division 2, Sectional 3 in Portage, it is Edgewood playing Reedsburg this morning at 10, followed at 1 o'clock by Waupun versus Jefferson. The sectional championship game will be played at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Elsewhere in sports, first baseman Reese Hoskins returned to the lineup and hit a solo home run in Philadelphia Monday night, the place where he played for 7 seasons. That one run wasn't enough for the Brewers, who dropped a 3-1 game to the Phillies. The loss ended a 4-game winning streak. Bryce Wilson took the loss after giving up 3 runs and a David Dahl home run in a 5 2/3 inning stint. The same two teams play today in Philadelphia again. Milwaukee beginning to get ready for the game, had not announced a starting pitcher as of last night. Reese Hoskins talked about the event, getting back to his former home.
Hoskins deep left, and a homecoming for the ages for Reese Hoskins. It's 3-1. They were cheering him earlier, and now some boos, but mostly standing and clapping for Hoskins. Man, what a night for Hoskins.
Oh, is that cool.
Courtesy of Bally Sports, last night's game, and manager Pat Murphy talked about the occasion.
Fans showed what this game's really all about. Reese left an impression on this fan base like he will on ours. People already recognize who the guy is and recognize how he goes about his business and what a pro he is and what a teammate he is. So I think the fans reacted just like, just happy for him.
That game yesterday in Philadelphia. Again, the Brewers and the Phillies play again tonight. The Mets 8-7 over Washington. Cincinnati beat Colorado. That final score 13-3. Arizona 4-2 over San Francisco. In the American League, Baltimore 7, Toronto 2, Detroit 2-1 over Texas. Houston 7, St. Louis 4, and the Angels 2-1 winners against San Diego. The Packers have signed second-round pick Javon Bullard to a rookie contract. He played his college ball in Georgia. Getting Bullard signed leaves only one first-round draft pick, Morgan, that is Jordan Morgan, without a deal. Nine other draft picks have already reached agreements with front office. Scouts say the 5'10", 198-pound Bullard could start as a rookie. His deal with the Packers is estimated to include a $1.7 million signing bonus, and the salary should be a little over $2.2 million. And also, the NBC television network is placing two Badger football games on its wish list for the 24 college football season. Both would be aired in prime time. The games are October 26th against Penn State and November 16th against Oregon. NBC's preferred lineup was released on Monday. The network shares Big Ten conference games with CBS and Fox. Wisconsin's game against Alabama is set to be broadcast on the Fox Big Noon kickoff. That's an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee.
Which group do you belong to? The 20% or the 80%? 20% of people exercise regularly.
As you say, Mr. Mayor, we are working through a developer's agreement. There is a number of different economic levers that we can utilize to incentivize development. My job is to ensure that, especially if there's an investment of public funds or any kind of tax credit or anything like that, that we get a protection for the city's interests. I'm not going to have some, you know, out-of-town developer come in, make a bunch of promises, and then pull out and leave us holding the bag, because I'm already dealing with an equivalent situation elsewhere. And so the developer's attorney and I are going through different drafts of the document. There are some protections that I think are non-negotiable. I'm sure that my counterpart will feel the same, but this is a normal process. It takes a little bit of time, but it matters because the first agreement for the first building, I would say that we learned a lot from that process. Now, that was before my time, but I now am having to deal with the execution of it. And there are certainly areas that were not addressed that I now know need to be. And then there are just other things that you know, we can offer now with a greater understanding that we may not have been aware of at the time that was negotiated. And I do want to say that Jason Glassbrenner, the economic development director, I believe a reasonably frequent guest on your show, has been instrumental in this whole process as well. He's a really details-oriented guy. I sometimes have to tell him to back off because he's not the lawyer I am, but that's the kind of guy that he is. You know, he's certainly right there with me in wanting to make sure that this is something that is a benefit to the city, has assisted wherever possible in making my job easier and facilitating communication between the developer and the city. And that's not to diminish the mayor's contribution to that in any way. Right. They just simply have different sets of skills. Yeah. And, you know, this is a time when Jason's come more to the fore.
That's just kind of how I like that, actually, because my skill set helped bring that builder here in the first place. It absolutely did. He would tell you that. And then I handed it to Jason to do what we hired him to do. It's that simple. And Jason, as Michael just said, is so detail-oriented. Sometimes it's almost funny. I'm like, look, man, you're not the engineer. You're not the builder. We know you know all of this. Hang in there, buddy. But he has done a great job on it. And Michael has. The whole city council has been involved in this. They deserve credit for it, too. It won't happen without them. They're the ones who vote. And they have to get it this far. And they're eager, too. And don't misunderstand the guys on the people who are your older persons on the city council. They love it too when something new gets built that they were part of, and they want it. but they want it on the right terms for the city.
Possible groundbreaking this year then?
I'd be surprised if not. I know the developer is very, very eager. Like I said, we're doing our best to take care of the words and let the builders do their thing. But I'm sure once before the ink is dry, they'll have shovels in the ground.
Awesome. Let's move over to the campus a little bit on the county perspective. Michael, anything new on that?
Nothing new. I would say there's two paths of concern regarding the campus. There is the future of the campus, and then there is addressing the way that we've gotten to where we currently are. On the looking back front, you know, the press release that was issued in response to the letter from the UW system pretty much summarizes our position. Nothing is off the table. There are a number of different options that we're looking to pursue, but we're also looking to work with partners. I don't mean to speak for anybody else, and I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth, but we're not the only community that's facing this. And, you know, certainly behoove these other communities to look at us as a potential example of what may be coming down the road for them. And so we're trying to have those discussions. I would say that there's no action I can articulate on that front at this time, but that doesn't mean nothing's being done. It just means we're not in a position right now. Again, nature of my job, confidentiality. Regarding the future of the campus, the county has contracted with Venture Architects, and they are doing a space needs assessment. They're essentially evaluating the courthouse, county building, the HHS building, the campus, and possibly some other sites. I'm not entirely certain, but figuring out what's working, what isn't. Is there a configuration for things that makes more sense than what we have now? Are things viable for the long term? Are we going to have to, you know, rebuild a thing in 10 years so we can start budgeting for that? But what the impact that has in the campus is, I've told numerous people this as they've asked, really there's nothing I can say about what the campus could or could be used for, or what that land could be used for until this assessment is done. It is anticipated that we'll have at least an initial report in July, get some idea of the condition of the buildings. Certainly they're configured for a college campus, and we would need to get some kind of idea if we were going to make another use of the existing buildings, what would be required to get those retrofitted or updated. But, you know, again, just because we can't make any definitive statement doesn't mean nothing's going on. We need to know what we need to know in order to make those decisions. Coupled with that, though, is the ongoing work of the Campus Reconfiguration Committee. They will be ultimately the ones who are evaluating proposed uses for the campus once we have the results of that space needs assessment. Where they are currently is evaluating or determining the criteria by which proposals will be judged. So you know, I can speak on behalf of the full county here in saying that it's really important that, you know, this is such a important asset to the community that everyone be given a fair shot to have their voices heard, their ideas evaluated. And so we want to create a fair, unbiased, impartial set of criteria, make that available, and then people will be able to adapt their proposals, submit it, and you know, have those evaluated. That work remains ongoing, but I would, you know, encourage the community to pay attention to those meetings. They're all, if you're not able to make it in person, they're certainly all broadcast, and then the videos are uploaded later.
Indeed.
Okay. One more update I'd like to provide, different topic. I had a long phone conversation over the weekend with Mr. Pete Walsh. If you don't know, serves as the president of our police commission, and that is the citizen panel that oversees police activities. And they will be, I don't know if they've announced them or will be, but there's some new hires coming at the police department that they've worked hard on. And so we've got some new folks coming in over there that they're really enthusiastic about. And Pete's explanation to me, they found some local talent, people that want to stay here live here, grow here, have families, all of that, that will be joining our police force in the near future. And so there have been some new hires at the city and the folks at the commission. That's how I started in local politics, was as a police commissioner before I ever ran for alderperson and then mayor. And I would tell you that our police commission and our police department are functioning at a very high level. And I'm pleased with all of it. I'm sure Mr. Wendell can attest to that, being the attorney. Of course, he works with our police. And there's a couple new officers coming. Michael, had you heard that yet?
I actually had the pleasure of meeting at least one of the candidates. So tomorrow is a perfect example. There's a biweekly traffic docket. So if you catch a speeding ticket or something like that, you're probably going to see me on a Tuesday morning. I could not do my job without the input of the officer sitting next to me in those court hearings. The candidate is, I believe, still in training, yep. But as part of that, they attended court alongside me, and so I had the opportunity to speak with them. Certainly, their enthusiasm was palpable, and I do understand that they're a member of the community already. So, we don't have to sell it to them. They're already a part of it. So. The police provide invaluable resources. We ask, frankly, too much of them, whatever we can do to make sure that they have the staff that they need and the resources to assist the community, I certainly support.
Absolutely. It used to be a time when we knew all of the police officers by name, you and I growing up here.
Yeah, my neighborhood, when I was a kid, I grew up on Ward Street, which is three blocks long, runs up the hill from TKS. And in my neighborhood, names from the past, Jack Bauer, Carl Delameter, Lynn Walker, different city officers to the time, and county officer Ron Sherman. So, right down Sheldon Street. Within about four blocks, you had four officers. So we didn't do much as kids over there. We were in bed on time and ate our vegetables. But we knew we played with their kids. We knew those officers by first name basis, right? And they were from here, stayed here, and all of that. Like so many other things, the world's become much more mobilized. People move more than they did then. But, yeah, I grew up in a neighborhood filled with local officers, and they were just the guys that hung out with my dad.
Sure. Yeah. Next generation, though, important that they're part of the community and everything else. And
fully agreed. Good. I was excited to hear it the way it went down. It sounds like they did a great job in the interview process and so forth, which we would expect them to do. And they were happy to find two people as eager as they are. And actually, what Pete said is they had almost too many good candidates. And you don't hear that a lot in the labor market right now. So this one went really well. It's a win for the city. Excited to get them on board.
Community forums. I know you had a couple as you were preparing for this spring, but you're going to plan to have a few more of those, Todd?
Working on that, yes. You may recall over the winter, we had two events on the same day in the banquet hall at the Phoenix Center, and we had representatives there from city government, county government, and the Richland School District talking about things we're all working on. And I remember Steve Board from the schools gave a PowerPoint presentation on the what were then the upcoming school referendums that were then on the April ballot. And passed on a very narrow vote. And one thing, we just met again, the group of us that started this process just about 2 weeks ago now. And Steve's had a lot of feedback that those forums and the information, the key point is, the information that was shared at those forums really made a difference there. People were grateful to hear it and have that opportunity and learn. And that opportunity was there and was wide open to ask questions of the city, the county, or the schools. We don't have a date set yet, but we're working on a late summer event of the same nature. Probably do it the same thing. I think we did 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. to give people different times of the day to attend. And they were both very well attended. And I'm really excited about that process and the improved and continuously improving relationship now that exists between Richland Center, Richland County, and the Richland School District. That really wasn't the case a few years back. And I forget, really, it wasn't the case a few years back. And when I first got involved, I was surprised to find that out. And so credit goes to everyone involved at all three entities, because that's what it takes. And everybody is committed to open communication with each other and then sharing that with our people.
Well, I appreciate you both being transparent here, kind of talking. I think it's important because it kind of maybe squashes some rumors and those kind of things. Important that you're here today, Michael.
We can certainly hope.
Yeah. Come on, come back and see us again.
I'm happy to do it. Like I said, there's not there's going to be times that I can't answer a question, but, you know, to the extent that I'm able to, I'm happy to provide this information to the community.
Yeah. And Todd, same thing. You know?
Oh, you know, I'll be back. I'm here the first Monday every month. Sometimes I brought the administrator down one time before the announcement that impacted the Richland campus. I had Tammy Avedovich with me from UW-Platteville on the air, trying to just share as much information as we can with the community, and I'm always up for that. I was very happy that Michael accepted my invitation to come down here. Most people in the community don't know him, and he's playing a critical role on your behalf and doing things at a high level. And I think you all heard that today. He's a very professional guy, and it comes off on the air, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So what I got to ask Michael a question. He was a DJ. So we know the music I listen to and Phil listens to. So if you had a radio show, Mr. Wendell, if you had a Saturday night show like Phil Nee has, what kind of music would be on Mike Wendell's show?
I am someone who is diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It was ADD when I was first diagnosed, but ADHD now. And I found that working and studying with music has really been helpful, but it can't be anything too lyrically involved. And so I grew up listening to a lot of what was then techno and is now electronic dance music, jungle, drum and bass, all the different varieties of that. And so that would be the majority of what I listen to nowadays. But I also listen to, you know, the lo-fi channels, industrial metal, currently I have a Yes Remixes CD stuck in the CD player of my car, which I can't complain about.
Seriously.
Too hard.
Attorney Michael Wendell and Mayor Todd Coppenall on today's Community Conversation.